It's time now for Looking Skyward, where we examine some recent events in the world of astronomy. I'm John Basile, and I'm speaking with Dr. Regina Jorgensen, director of the Mariah Mitchell Observatory on Nantucket. Hi, Regina.
Hi, John.
So I hear the Earth has a new temporary moon.
This is a kind of cool thing. It's not something that you can go out and see, you know, look up in the sky and see with your naked eye. Unfortunately, it's very small. We think it's probably about 6 to 11 feet in diameter. So it's very tiny. It's actually comes from a class of asteroids that we know comes very close to the Earth. And in this particular case, this one had an orbit such that when it came close enough to the Earth, it was actually captured by the gravity of the Earth and went into orbit around the Earth. And we think it's been orbiting around the Earth for about the past 3 years. Now, it's probably not going to stick around because it's so small. It's actually really affected also by the gravity of the sun and our own moon, as well as radiation pressure from the sun. And all those forces are kind of acting on it to sort of slightly change its orbit constantly. And it's probably going to get kicked out of Earth orbit very soon and go back to its normal orbit around the sun. So yeah, we have a temporary new mini moon. Scientists think that this is actually quite common, and probably at any given time, the Earth has one or so new mini natural satellites. Of course, they're really small, and so they're hard to find. But in this case, astronomers actually did detect it.
Now, there's a new term on me, iron rain. What could you tell us about that?
Yeah, this is a really cool story. So this is probably one of the most extreme exoplanets that we know of so far. So it's a planet orbiting a different star about 640 light years from us. This planet is called WASP 76b. It's what's known as a hot Jupiter, which means it's a really massive planet that's very, very close to its star. In fact, it's so close that it takes 43 hours to make one orbit around the star. So its year is 43 hours long. You can imagine that this might cause some really extreme conditions. One of those is that the planet is actually what's called tidally locked to the star. And that means that the same face of the planet always faces the star. So you have one half of the planet that's in constant daylight and one half that's in constant nighttime. And that actually causes a really extreme temperature gradient. So the hot side gets really, really hot, up to something like 2,400 degrees Celsius. And the nighttime side is much cooler, about 1,000 degrees cooler. What astronomers have just discovered by making very, very careful observations with a new spectrograph on the Very Large Telescope in Chile, they were actually able to detect vaporized iron in the atmosphere of this planet. So it's so hot that it actually vaporizes metals. They go up into the atmosphere and have caused a signature in the spectrum that we observe from this planet. But they only see it on the daytime side and not on the evening side. And so this has led to this idea that the iron is sort of goes up into the atmosphere, and then with really, really strong winds that are created from this temperature differential, the iron is sort of swept around onto the nighttime side, where it then cools and condenses out of the atmosphere into rain. And so there's this idea that this planet probably has something like iron rain that's coming down on the nighttime side. And it's very hard for anyone to sort of imagine what that's like. But this is the really, really the joy and the fun of astronomy, is that we can start to actually picture these really extreme worlds that are difficult for us to imagine.
And finally, here's a question I never thought I'd have to ask anyone. What do slime mold and the cosmic web have in common?
It turns out slime mold, which is a very simple single-celled organism that builds these sort of complex filamentary networks, and it does that in order to search for food. Scientists have studied this for many years and actually found that the way it does that, it sort of efficiently finds the most efficient way to different food sources. And they've started to model that mathematically and try to understand how it works. And it turns out you can actually apply some of that mathematical modeling to the cosmic web, which is, of course, a structure on a completely different scale, astronomical scales, if you will, much bigger. And the cosmic web is how we understand the universe and its evolution. So it's sort of these filamentary structures of matter that connect galaxies and stars with each other. And where those filaments intersect is where you have galaxies and clusters of galaxies. And so it turns out that, of course, the underlying processes are different in how slime mold works and how the cosmic web works, but they produce structures that are mathematically very similar. And so you can actually use mathematical algorithms that have been developed to understand slime mold to also understand the cosmic web.
Dr. Regina Jorgensen is the director of the Mariah Mitchell Observatory on Nantucket. Regina, thank you so much. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks so much.